Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading in Ecclesiastes 5. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is God's word. I want all of you to look around. The people sitting next to you, the building in which we sit this morning. Consider the weather outside, the morning you had coming here, and I want you to think of how it is all of it, the gift of God. That each of us awoke this morning healthy, with a roof over our heads and food in our bellies, that is a gift of God. That you and I can dress ourselves in fine clothing appropriate to the weather, but not in rags, and rather nice things, that is a gift of God. That you and I can come into this place and receive the word of God, put the body and blood of Christ in our mouths, that is a gift of God. That we can do so surrounded by family members, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a gift of God. All of it, everything that you have, is a gift of God. A good gift from God our Father in heaven because he loves you. Martin Luther talked about that in the first article of the Creed. Maybe some of you, well, probably most of you don't remember the first article of the Creed. It was the first one that was really annoying to memorize because it was really long, right? You could handle those Ten Commandments and their explanations. That you can do pretty quickly, but that first article is long, but it's worth repeating because what Luther does is lay out basically everything for us to remember that it's all God's gift. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. And then Luther says, all this he does out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. Because of his goodness and mercy, our Heavenly Father has given you everything as a gift. Not because you deserve it, not because you're entitled to it, not because you are owed it. It's given out of love. Many people today tend to think of God as this, well, if there is a God out there, he's some far off being and he's not really interested or not really active in our day-to-day lives. And yet, each of us look around and we see the work of God everywhere, the blessing of God everywhere, our work, our families, our homes, all of it comes from God's goodness and love. Sun and rain that nourishes the fields, bodies and minds that are able to work and earn a living. He's given us more than we could ever hope for or need. Consider that this afternoon when you plop down into a nice plush recliner and turn on your flat screen television to watch a football game. Or when you open your refrigerator to take out a beer or a soda, a pop, bag of chips from the pantry, that all of it, All of it is given to you from God's good heart and out of his love for you. The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that these are indeed good gifts. That we shouldn't apologize for our television or the food in your home, the car you drive or the clothes you own. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. All that God has blessed you with through your work and toil, your labor and struggle, he means for you to enjoy it. The money you have, the possessions you own, they in and of themselves are not sinful, as long as they are seen as a gift of God and enjoyed as a gift of God. And you keep in mind and take to heart that it is God who gives it to you. And therefore, you are but a steward of what he gives you. All of these things are gifts, and yet, unfortunately, how many of us stop seeing them that way? It's ironic that the things that are God's gifts end up being the source of the most stress in our lives, don't they? How many of you have ever lost a night of sleep because of money? How many of you have fretted and worried because of repairs needed on your house? How many of you young people have stressed because of the clothes you have or the clothes you wish you had or the type of phone you have? See, all these things are good gifts of God, and yet they are for us the source of all kinds of trouble and stress. Many of you hear it said a lot that money is the root of evil. And some of you already know that that's a misquote of that verse. It's 1 Timothy 6:10 that reads, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." You see, the reality is that although money and possessions are a good gift from God, you and I allow them to become the source of all sorts of worries and troubles. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, says Ecclesiastes, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity, folly, meaninglessness, an exercise in futility to make the things in our house, the clothes on our back, the money in our bank accounts, the source of all our worries and the source of all our happiness. We become so consumed with money, it can, in some cases, literally drive us mad. Again from our reading, "As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand." Though the things we have are the good gifts of God, they're not the things that we can take into eternity. When we die, we will take no money, no cars, no houses, no iPhones. Even the clothes they put on us when we're buried will not come with us into eternity. And yet these are the things that give us the most trouble, the most worry, the most concern here in this life. What is given as a good gift of God becomes a source of idolatry. Our reading calls it a grievous evil. You see, the problem's not with money, it's not with Facebook or Snapchat or social media, it's not with iPhones, it's not with food and excess of food or lack of food. The problem is sinful hearts. Wicked, sinful, idolatrous hearts in each and every one of us. Last Sunday, we heard in our Holy Gospel the account of a man who was told to give away all he had to follow Jesus. And the man went away sad because he had a lot of wealth. And today, Jesus tells his disciples' children how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are shocked at this. You know why they're shocked? Because in the disciples' mind, if a rich man can't get into heaven, who can? If the rich, who in their minds are certainly blessed by God over and above everyone else, if they can't get into God's kingdom, then it's hopeless for all of us. That's the truth, isn't it? Who can be saved, they asked. If a rich man getting into heaven is harder than a camel going through the eye of a needle, then it would seem that no one can find their way into God's kingdom. Jesus says to them, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Because God brings all people who receive his good gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation into his kingdom. When you have not just the good gifts of God that we enjoy day in and day out, but the best gifts of God, why then even a camel can pass through the eye of a needle. Because the gift of Jesus Christ and his holy, perfect blood shed for you upon the cross is the best gift of God there is. And it is the one that fills your heart with more joy than anything you own. Our reading from Ecclesiastes says, he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. We do indeed stress so much about all the other things of this world, and yet God, through his Holy Spirit, would have us repent and look not upon the problems of money and clothes and fret over the problems of electronics and all the other day in and day out minutiae, but rather he would have you see the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. When you are a child of God who has received the best gifts that he has to offer, you have a joy that the possessions of this world cannot give. When you have the blood of Jesus given into death for you, you have the best gift of all that comes to you in the best of ways. Completely, totally, and unequivocally free. Comes to you through the Word. Came to you the day of your baptism. Comes to you through the body and blood of Jesus Christ given to you at this altar. These, dear friends in Jesus Christ, are the best gifts of God. Whatever you possess in this life or whatever you don't possess in this life, true joy comes from receiving these good and wonderful gifts. The best gifts. No doubt each of you has come here this morning with something in your life that is causing you trouble and sorrow. Your pain might be great or it might be little. Whatever it is, confess your guilt to God over letting these things steal your joy and happiness. In our epistle today, the writer to the Hebrews describes God's word as, and I quote, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. The writer of the Hebrews describes God's word sort of in the terms of a surgical instrument that cuts into your heart and reveals what is hidden there. Because whatever it is you bring with you this morning, I can't see it. I don't read your minds and I don't read your hearts. And might be a few people in your life who you've let into what's going on into your life and your mind and your soul. You can hide that stuff from the people around you. And it might terrify us to know that God, that's not hidden from him. He sees all of it. But it's also an incredible comfort. You see, the writer of the Hebrews says the word of God is a two-edged sword. It was one of the greatest inventions of its time to make a sword that could cut no matter which direction you swung it. And some have taken that to they've understood this text as saying how God's word cuts two ways, in law and in gospel. That word reveals your guilt, your shame, your idolatry, the wickedness, the things you've been holding on to. But that very same sword, that word of God also speaks to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. That your sin is taken away. Your guilt is atoned for. You are forgiven children. Whether you're more worried about the gifts of money and possessions than you are focused on the best gifts of God, forgiveness, life, and salvation, God sees it. He knows it. And he invites you this morning to receive the forgiveness he bought for you, the blood of Christ, which washes away all your sin. You know, it's said in the book of Revelation that God's people are those who are clothed in white robes. They are covered in white because the blood of Jesus has made them righteous. More than the clothes we worry about from day to day. I know I get frustrated about my clothes because it seems I struggle to fit into them more and more, and I gotta lose weight so I can keep wearing the clothes I have. This type of clothing is the one you want to keep in mind. The one you want to focus your heart upon. Because you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And it's impossible for you to enter God's kingdom. But through the blood of Christ that clothes you and makes you righteous, you are brought into God's kingdom. God does the impossible. He clothes you in the blood of Christ that you might be called holy and righteous. He takes Jesus' holy life and he makes it your holy life. He gives you the joy of being called a child of God with the promise that because Jesus has risen from the dead, you will rise from the dead as well. These are the gifts that last for eternity, and that is why they're the best gifts. So, look around you one more time. All around you are the gifts of God. And here for you this morning are the best gifts of God. The gift of the word that speaks you holy and righteous, removing all of your sins as far as the east is from the west. You have the gift of eternal life, a life that doesn't end. You have the gift of Jesus' righteousness that gives you God's kingdom. You have the gift of Jesus' body and blood given for you in bread and wine. All of them, gifts given freely, good gifts, the best gifts to be enjoyed, to be shared. And so, dear friends, enjoy and find joy in the gifts of God that you have. All of them. Share them with others. And enjoy especially and above all those gifts that last for eternity, the ones bought for you with the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.